Welcome, everybody, to the Natural Born Hunter podcast brought to you by Mountain Ops. Mountain Ops is a supplement company that specializes in the needs of the hunter. If you need a little more protein in your diet, boom, hit up the Magnum. Three different sources of protein in there, so it absorbs in your body at different points in time, making it last longer so you can get stronger. You can also check out their Yeti pre-workout, perfect for hitting max lifts, PRs, getting your head in the game, and getting after it. They also have Enduro. For those of you who are a little more cardio-based in your workouts, looking to charge hard for long hours at a time. The podcast is also brought to you today by Alaskan Guide Creations, the originators and innovators when it comes to bino harnesses. They're the guys to do it first and do it better, frankly, than everybody else out there. If you're going to dump a bunch of money into getting fantastic, great, expensive binoculars, well, then you better, you know, spend a little bit to protect those. They're super reasonably priced, they come in great camo patterns, and they're a fantastic product. They strap it to your chest, hold them down, fully encased in there, and protect them from all the elements. So check them out. Without further ado, let's fire this puppy up. Ladies and gentlemen, is a little taste of the Chris Kyle tribute song written by our guest today, the one and only multi-talented, multi-versatile, a little bit of becoming a legend himself, Jim Kinsey.
No, thank you. Thank you for the introduction, Will. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, Phil. This is going to be a fun podcast, talking a little bit about kind of how that song came to be, which is such an interesting story. The guy in the background, the guy that sings that song, his name is Jason Forget. White guy out of Maine with a degree in psychology, loves to rap, you know, and that's how I met him and trusted the lyrics to him. And he took it to, you know, the stratosphere, which got it to Taya Kyle, and then the rest is history, you know. So, yeah, it drops on the 22nd Monday, and I'm pretty jacked up, you know, to be a part of it and carry on the spirit of Chris Kyle, which if you've seen American Sniper, or if you haven't, you need to either A, read the book and or watch the movie, you know, to know what went on there with Chris. So pretty amazing story.
Yeah, incredible story.
That seems like a lot of pressure to live up to, though.
You have to be
a little bit nervous.
Yeah, it is. I served in the Marine Corps, and I was lucky enough to meet Kryptek when they first started out at an early stage. You know, when they were like in 09, I met them walking the SHOT Show floor, and Butch and Josh, the two owners of Kryptek Outdoor Group, and we hit it off, and I've been a pro staff with them for 5 years now, and that's how I got to know Chris Kyle. I met him at a Kryptek, at a private party, about 2 weeks before his death. And I had already read American Sniper. And so, you know, I was just like, I wanted to meet the legend. I was like, you know, it blew me away, the book. I couldn't believe that, you know, he went through all of that and came back and he was still really physically in one piece. And so I got to the party early, and it was literally Jana and I and Chris, and we walked in together, and he had some bodyguard there, somebody like a guy that watches over him, I guess. And so went in, he had all his books there. And so we started to talk. And so we talked for 20 minutes. Nobody came in there yet. We were just way early. So we talked about, you know, the book and, you know, kind of about hunting. I knew he was a hunter. And so we invited him on an antelope hunt to come out on Skullbound TV, and he was going to do some long range, you know, acquisition and harvest some antelope in Montana. And, you know, so we were all excited about that, and we were in talks about it. And so 2 weeks later we went home, and, you know, I mean, we were home that, and then 2 weeks later, obviously we were surfing the internet on the couch, Jan and I were, and all of a sudden, you know, this came up in the news feed. It was like Chris Kyle was murdered, gunned down in Texas. I was like, I lost my mind. I was like, no, not the legend. I'm like, no, this is not true. So I thought I Googled it and checked again, and it was true. And we both burst into tears, and it was a really emotional time for me. And I just, you know, I couldn't believe it. And so I think for all of America, and especially for, you know, his wife, Taya, and their two children. So it hit me hard. And so I went to SHOT Show. I briefly saw her and gave her my condolences. And, you know, you don't know what to say at that point in time. It's just a horrible thing. And so then a year later, the movie came out, and I was moved again by what happened to Chad Littlefield and, you know, his partner in crime, and Chris again. I'm thinking, you know, it really brought it home. And I was driving to SHOT Show. I just finished watching the movie and literally jumped in the car the next day. And I was probably 4 or 5 hours out from Las Vegas when the lyrics started coming at me. They literally were coming at me as fast as I could write them down while I was driving. So that's kind of how the lyrics came. I had to pull over. Jana took over driving. And by the time I hit Las Vegas, I had probably 3/4 of the song done. So, and then the rest came a little bit later, but, and Jason Forge also helped me on the lyrics. He wrote a small portion of the, you know, we kind of worked together, but there's a bridge in there, and the bridge kind of talks about, for people that don't understand what it's like to be that guy that has to be pulling the trigger, I guess, that explains it to, you know, to all walks of life. Why, you know, could you do what it takes to, you know, to save your men if you had to, basically. So that's kind of how the song came to be. And, you know, we hooked up with multi-platinum producers out of Nashville. Will Power just cut Yellow Wolf's latest album, Love Story. Mike Hartnett also, you know, he worked on that same album. They're both multi-platinum record producers. Worked with, you know, Wiz Khalifa and, you know, like Ludacris and, you know, all of these big names. And so they heard what we were doing, and they knew what it was for. They dropped everything they were doing right before Christmas. We all gathered in Nashville, and that's how that beat came to be.
That's awesome, man. I mean, to see how one person's life can affect so many, right? And to see that, how things just come about, how that came to you, and you started putting it down, and it's just amazing to see the creativity of some people based off an impact that they had by meeting somebody and appreciating and respecting their life. You know, I mean, kudos to you with all the work and creativity in this project, because it really speaks volumes to what we as Americans, you know, so many people take for granted. You know, and
yes,
and it gets to the basic essence of just life itself. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, I want to keep, you know, my deal is I wanted to keep his spirit alive. I wanted people to, oh, the movie's over, the book's done. No, man, you know, now we have a song that's sonically multi-generational that touches the masses. I want the kids that are bebopping to it, you know, like, hey, you know, dancing around, whatever. I want them to go, oh, they're learning a history lesson here. This is like, you know, the most deadliest sniper in American history. He saved thousands of American lives, despite what the media will tell you. You know, that's the way it is, and, you know, be thankful for it. So that's it.
Now, here's why I choose to go say that more country hip hop style route versus straight country. Because, okay, you know, there's some people out there that. Yep. They're going to be a little butthurt that this isn't a country song. Whereas, you know, myself, I'm a huge fan of Bubba Sparks, Yellow Wolf, all those guys. So for me, you know, perfect, love it. But what do you say to those other people?
Well, I think that that's a great question, you know, to be asked. I thought, you know, originally when I wrote it, I wasn't actually thinking hip hop at the very beginning. I thought maybe country. I actually got a clean cut of the lyrics to Zac Brown and never heard back from him. And so I wasn't going to let it just like lie dead. I was like, well, I need to make something happen. And so originally I was thinking country, but the way it's written, you know, it just makes sense to be hip hop. It makes sense, you know? And so there's another player that's coming into this mix as well. And that's Bubba Sparks. Bubba gets the remix on this. It's already been recorded and it'll drop in May. A lot of people don't know that, but they know it now. So
I like that.
We already have the copy. It's already done. There's one or two tweaks in it. You know, there's a lot of writing on a song like this, you know, a lot of pressure to make sure that it resonates. It carries on his spirit. And so, you know, the remix is actually quite different, same beat, but you're going to hear a lot of different words because I'll give you an example. So let's say I'm Bubba Sparks and I'm coming in, I just made a suit for myself, but he can't fit into my suit. You know what I mean? That's how a rapper would look at my lyrics. He has to form it to his style. It may be still using some of my words. So he kind of came in and rewrote the entire thing using lots of pieces of what I started with. But it's in a completely different song like that. So for the people out there that say, hey, you know, why isn't it country? You know, maybe there's a third one coming down the pipe.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. I like that. Know. Hinting, so, little hints.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know the music world, and I don't know artists, but I think that they can appreciate each other's genre. I think that, you know, like you said, so many people come together to work on this project with you, whether it's country or whether it's rock or whatever it is, I think everybody's going to appreciate the song for what it is, or the lyrics especially. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hope so, because really, if you listen to it lyrically, it tells his story, you know, from A to Z, literally. And I think that's kind of what I wanted it to do. Just, you know, I say this to a lot of people. I say, surround yourself with good people and great things will happen. Because at the end of the day, you know, you're only so good as the people around you. And so the people that I have been blessed to come in contact with, I mean, even for instance, coming to meet, you know, Will, you know, at down at the show here in, it was ATA show. I think we were at the Mountain Ops booth and we ran at each other. And, you know, for you to say, hey, I would like you to come on to our show and talk about it. I'm thinking, me? Why me? You know what I mean? It's because you guys, you know, you have this killer platform and I want to let the world to know, but really you guys, you know, thank you for having me on to tell this story.
Yeah, no. Yes. And you know, Will, he came to me after the fact. I was running around the ATA show buying stuff for the shop. And he told me that he had that, you know, he talked with you and cause he met quite a few people, but he's like, we got to get with Jim on this. It's just, you know, he was very impressed and he related that very well to me. And I've caught some of the episodes with you guys, and I know you from afar, right? But
yeah,
it's awesome to see how many
really in person. This is cool.
Yeah, no, but at the same time, you know, to see the different projects that people are involved in, because obviously the Skullbound and you guys are is it five seasons complete or you're into your fifth?
Yeah. I'm in my fifth season right now. I'm literally editing episode 12 and 13. So you know, by this time next week, we'll have 65, our 65th episode delivered, you know, out of one host, you know, which is monumental. You know, Jana is an incredibly passionate, talented, giving, you know, person that basically wants to help everybody, like veterans, you know, giving back to the environment. She's donated over $40,000 worth of her own skull work. in the name of conservation. And so, you know, she understands that, you know, some of these veterans coming back from the battlefield, you know, need time, Mother Nature, to help heal them. And so we've hooked up with like groups like, you know, our favorite group and the one that we endorse, you know, is Wishes for Warriors, founded by Brian Marshall, better known handle on Instagram as Bam Bam. And so 69, I think, Bam Bam 69. But he's an amazing guy, you know, and we want to get all his guys we can out in the field. So we usually do 2 episodes or 3 episodes a year, veteran based, where we can get, you know, different guys out in the field and let them go hunting elk for the first time or whatever. So, yeah, so it's been just a blessing to be a part of it all.
I just caught the episode you guys did, the gentleman that I think he was a double amputee.
Yeah,
elk.
Garmin. That was Utah elk hunt. Yeah, Corey Garmin.
Yeah, that was cool, man. Just to see you guys trucking it up that trail because,
oh yeah,
you know it brings people like myself. I'm based in the West myself, so getting up chasing elk, hearing the bugle, seeing them through the trees,
yeah,
and seeing that. Right, and then seeing that the limitations, there is no limitations for these guys, you know. They have the same drive as and the passion that the rest of us do. You know, to see you guys being able to put people in positions like that, it's awesome, man. It was cool to see.
Yeah. It was one of those things I feel super, you know, blessed to be a part of. You know, as a cameraman, I see so many cool things all day, every day, you know, when I'm doing my job. And to see Corey hike up the hill when that elk was bugling, he's hearing his first bugles for the first time. He trained all year so he could have that core, you know, ready to go so he could get up the hill the way he did. And it all came together and he made a beautiful shot on that bull. And I have to give kudos out to Justin Richens at R&K Hunting. You know, he basically called us up and said, hey, I want to take a veteran out. He found me at the Cryptek booth of all places. I mean, you can see how this Cryptek thing is just like gravitating these really cool people in to help us out, you know? And so like, we went there, Nosler built him a rifle, you know, built him the Patriot. It's the 300 Win Mag Patriot. We got a Vortex, sent him the optics, you know, Tenzing sent him the backpack. We've got all these different components coming in. All of our sponsors are huge. You know, they're like, here, what do they need? Cryptek decked him out in all the gear. And, you know, for him to, you know, experience what we all get to experience all the time, but for his first time, under those circumstances was like, it's like one of those life changing events for me. It's just unbelievable, you know? So, yeah.
What's your, as far as like moving forward with the show, because,
sure.
You know, I've got to hear, Jana present at the awards here at SHOT Show. You know, I got to hear her speak there and watch her on the show. And then the award that was just, you just got at the – is it the Turkey Federation?
Yeah, National Wild Turkey Federation's Communicator of the Year, which is one of their most prestigious awards. Yeah, it was kind of – I knew weeks before she did. They called me and said, don't tell her, but you guys got to switch out your flights. So you're going to Mule Deer, but then you got to fly down for the award. So that's kind of how it all came to be. And so then I finally told her. She's like, you knew? What? You know, but anyway, so that was pretty cool. But, yeah, she, you know – kudos to her, man. I mean, without her, I mean, there would be no show. That girl kills it. I mean, she's just so good at what she does, and she's real. Like, what you see is what you get. Like me, don't like me, but that's how that's me. I mean, she is just, we call her one take wonder. So, like, when I'm interviewing her, like, she just drops, like, the lines, like, one after another, like a cyborg. I'm like, is this girl really? I mean, it's unbelievable, but that's how she rolls, and I love that about her. You know, she's my better half, and I love her to death. And so, yeah, she's just she's a gem, man, just a gem.
Yeah, she seems very genuine. We got to sit with her briefly at the Cryptek after party this year at SHOT Show. My wife and Santino and his wife were there, and so we were sitting down, and she came and have a seat next to our wives, and just, you know, start just shooting the breeze, and she seems like she gets along with everybody. She just seems like that personality, right?
She does. She's just super super likable. How can you not like her? You got a beautiful woman that loves to kill stuff.
Right. Yeah.
She's in Wisconsin right now. So.
Oh, really?
She's visiting your family for like 2 weeks while I finish up episodes. And then I'm off to So I'm headed down to Texas. We're going to do the hog hunt. If anybody watched the movie 13 Hours with Oz and Tig and that story, those are the guys I'm going to be hunting hogs with. Medal of Honor recipient Clint Romichet, he may show up. That's still in the works. And, of course, Brian Marshall and his crew from Wishes will be there. So we're going to do some aerial hog hunting and get those guys in the choppers and let them, you know, do some swine smackdown, I guess. So, yeah, so that's going to be fun. I got to tell you something that's very cool that just happened like this last weekend in Nashville. So I work with a company called Nemo Arms. Okay, they're right out of Kalispell. And we've been talking about doing an original song for them for a while. And so we rented Omni Studio right there on Music Row on Tuesday we were in there 5.5 hours. Cutting a new song that I wrote a year ago called Remember the Fallen. Okay, so that song is kind of came about from Medal of Honor recipient Clint Romichet. So it's, we wrote another song called Red Platoon, which basically chronicles the storyline of his book, which drops, it's called Red Platoon, which drops in May 3rd, actually. So Red Platoon and the other song, Remember the Fallen, will potentially drop at NRA. And it's unbelievable. We've got a 10-year-old drummer who plays on this song. His name is Luke Wright, and his father was there. And this was really his first time recording, like in a studio for an album. And I'm telling you, this kid is the most unbelievable drummer. I mean, we've got some of the biggest names in Nashville saying, this is the guy you need. I'm thinking, which guy? The one that his voice hasn't changed yet? That one? You know? No. He got on the drums, and he's like from another planet, I'm telling you. He was just, he's his future. He can write his ticket anywhere. So he drums on Remember the Fallen. It's kind of an alternative rock feel. You'll get to hear that here. Probably at NRA, we're talking about maybe potentially a concert with about 400 people where these guys would come in and play Red Platoon, Remember the Fallen, and some of these other songs we've been working on for the last year. So, yeah.
Man,
you're a hustler. Like
you've got quite a few. That's it, man. That's all I can think of. You know, it's like you sleep.
Okay. So on my end, I'll give you a taste of Remember the Fallen. How about that?
I like that.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Okay, so this is coming at you. Now, this is about one or two mixes away from being mastered, but it's real close. So tell me if you can hear it. It's okay. Okay, so there's a taste of Remember the Fallen.
I dig that. You can write some killer hooks. It sounds like a song that would soon be Phil's ringback tone.
Maybe. I hope so. So Billy Dawson, well-known, Billy Dawson, he was on there. I think we had a guitar from Shinedown, 7-string that he played on. And then 10-year-old Luke Wright. And then there was Mike Hartnett, played on bass. Michael Connors, obviously vocals. And also he played on guitar, some of the sound effects, which are later in the song. And then Skid Mills, master engineer, he brought Saving Abel to be Saving Abel. So, big time names all came together at Omni. It's a historic, if you look it up, Google it, Omni Studios, a lot of history there, Travis Tritt, Leonard Skinner, the works. So, pretty cool to be able to be a part of that group and, have that come out. And so what a lot of people don't know, and maybe they will here in a second, but Sony Pictures just bought the right to Clint's book. So what you're going to see is Red Platoon will be a feature film probably in the next 18 wow. months to 24 months. So we're hoping that Red Platoon gets picked up. Clint's obviously, he's pushing for that. And Remember the Fallen for the soundtrack.
And then maybe a Best Original Song Award at the Oscars? Yeah. You never know.
Never, man. No, my goal was to win an Emmy.
Do they give Emmys to hunting shows? Is that possible, or are you going to have to go to another genre?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe a regional. I've seen one. I think one hunting show I saw win one once, but anyway. But, yeah, so those are some of the songs we got on the hopper. I mean, pretty fun stuff. We got a couple other ones we're still working on too, but we haven't even put pen to that. So Monday, that was Tuesday, Wednesday, but Monday I was booked out for a write. This was kind of a cool story. So speaking of Brian Marshall, when I came into it's a three-way write with Jason Wyatt, and Chris Albright. And so I got stacked into the middle of that for 8 hours. They had booked me out like a month in advance. And so when I was there, I went in, and this was like my real first write in a big studio. I'm always Skyping with people and writing over and texting and doing my thing from Montana. But I was in Nashville in a studio, and we all sat down and we recorded called The Hard Route. And The Hard Route is a country song which talks about Brian Marshall. So people know that Brian Marshall founded Wishes for Warriors. He basically turned it all in, and that's what he's doing. And so the storyline follows Brian Marshall was a defensive end for, and playing football in high school and had a full ride scholarship. And so he's ready to go, and the towers go down and the horrible tragedy in New York and all the people and all that stuff, horrific stuff that went down. And he traded it all in, went down to the recruiter on the spot, signed up, sign me up. I want to go over there and, serve my country for what went on. And so he went home, told his dad, hey, I'm out, join the Marine Corps. So our storyline follows him as a defensive end, joins the Marine Corps, turns it all in. Now he's on the front line again, bam, bam, knocking down doors. And then at the end of the song, I decided to take the hard route. Well, the hard route is giving back and dedicating your life to help other people. So that's the storyline, and they'd love it, and it may end up on his album, looks like. So called the hard route, and I think it'll speak to a lot of people, and that's country. So hopefully they can utilize it. Yeah. So
with the actual official launch of some of the Monday, right?
Yes.
Where can people download this, purchase? Where can people start?
Every music service available on the planet, Spotify, Amazon, Pandora takes about a week to populate their services. They just bought. They didn't buy it. They actually licensed to use it. Cryptek, Overcome, our Open the Cage song we wrote last summer, which is launching a lifestyle brand, and a new song called one of our songs called Gladiator, which Justin Gagey from World Series of Fighting on March 12th walks out to live. He's the main event. He'll walk out to Gladiator on on NBC. Yeah, so that's pretty exciting. But so yeah, you'll be able to get The Legend and What Say You on every musical service that you can think of coming up. So. Yeah.
So tell us about Open the Cage. I've got a.
Okay. So that's a good start.
I, Yeah, I know some guys that have been repping some of the gear, already Luke Cadillo and Justin. Actually, those guys are here local here with me.
Okay.
But, well, yeah.
That was our – so that's Gen 1. That's some of our first generation stuff that we were – you know, ideas of what we wanted to do. I trademarked the phrase open the cage. I wrote that song with so it was Michael Connors, James Breedwell, Mike Hartnett, and myself. Some of the same guys that we're writing these songs with. We all came together and we – it was basically – I was inspired by Matt Hughes. I think he's 8 or 9-time UFC world champ. And so, you know, I was kind of inspired by, you know, his life, his – you know, his attitude in the ring and all of that is kind of how we came up with, you know, Open the Cage. And so the song tells a story of, you know, as Americans, you know, I'm an American, I ground and pound, you know, don't mess with me, I'll knock you out. You know, all this stuff. It's like, you know, we're not going to lay down and die. Life's a fight. Open the cage. So that's kind of how we coined the phrase. It's a metaphor in life that it's not all about the octagon. It's about no matter what you're battling in life, it's if it's, you know, cancer or the Taliban or you know, you're standing up to the bully on the playground or, you know, you told your boss, kiss my butt, I'm going to go and, you know, I'm doing this other job because you're not paying me enough. Whatever it is, or you're taking that risk in life, every day's a fight. So open the cage. And so it launched a lifestyle brand. And obviously, I don't know if the audience can see, but obviously we can talk about it. The logo is kind of like an octagon shape, but at the top is open with a T and a C. And it's got a crown on the top. And so it's like, be the king of your own life. Be the king of your own destiny, you know. And it's neat. I hired JT Stewart. If anybody knows Rich Franklin, that's JT Stewart is Rich Franklin's manager. Okay. JT Stewart launched and sold American Fighter to Affliction last year. So that's the guy launching my brand. The Buckle is very interested in it already. Kohl's, Macy's. So we're doing a soft launch here in about a week and then a hard launch and then we're going right to retail. So, John Wozniak, everybody knows him from Full Draw. He designed the original logo, and kudos to him. We've hired him to design and help do the brand. He sent me 20 examples, and they are unbelievable. So, yeah, it's openthecagegear.com. We'll be live. There's a splash page there right now, but nothing you can really check out yet. Just give you some info, but coming soon, you'll be able to buy and do a bunch of gear. And we're also going to be doing an entire hero line. So what I mean by that is that's our way of giving back to all these groups we're working with. So like, for example, you know, Chris Kyle Frog Foundation, we're working on a design for those guys. We're working on a design for Shadow Warriors, which is Tig and Oz from 13 Hours, the movie. That's their organization. Mission 22, Tom Spooner. What a great guy. Look up Tom Spooner, Google him. The guy's an amazing, he's a walking, living legend. The whole song, What Say You, is all about him. So we're going to do an entire series for all these different groups where we give back to vets and empower them for cause marketing so they can make money to do what they do and healing power, you know, to get those guys, you know, saved from, help them fight the battle of PTSD and the other things they, you know, every day go on with. So that's what we're doing with the hero line too. So
what made you decide to get into all this?
That's a great question. You know, Jen always tells me focus. I'm like, I'm trying to like diversify,
you know, like a shotgun.
Yeah. Kind of putting it out there, but truthfully, you know, hey, let's face it. I love Skullbound. I love it. But, you know, just like anything, you know, I think the number one shows that last the longest are, you know, the Ralph and Vicky and the Bone Collectors and the Lee and Tiffany's of the world. Those guys got their shelf life is forever. You know, we'd like to keep going forever, you know, but the truth of it is you have to reinvent yourself almost every year and keep it fresh and new and unique. So, you know, I think that if, you know, in a couple of years, if Skullbound was over or whatever, we would do something like we would probably just take veterans hunting and, you know, surprise them and, you know, life after war, whatever it is, we would go out and do something like that with them. But yeah, we've got so many different ideas. Like, I mean, a song can launch a brand, you know. It's hard to believe that, but it's true. The guy Skid Mills, who mixed Open the Cage, the song. Also cut back in the day, the original WWE song, whatever it was. And he told those guys, you know, you should probably trademark the name or whatever. They did, and they made millions. And so he kind of told us the same thing. You know, you should probably trademark that phrase, Open the Cage. And I jumped on it like then, right there. It took 9 months to get approved. But yeah, I mean, it's not about the money to me. I feel like it's a brand that's going to empower people and save lives. That's kind of what I feel. And I've got Mike Hartnett and Michael Connors are both of my partners. They're also musicians. So they help. If we come up with an idea and we need to cut a song for whatever it is, I can go right to those guys and they can get busy. But yeah, so between the show, I'm a very busy person. Obviously, Skullbound keeps me highly busy. I hired my first editor ever this year, Grady Rawls. Kudos to him. He is absolutely kicking butt here. He's cut three of my shows. He's on number four right now. Without him, I could not be doing what I'm doing because I kind of opened up so much, you know, so many things that I couldn't focus all my attention to all 13 episodes. You know, this is the first year I've ever hired anybody to edit or touch any of my footage. And I trusted him because A, he's a really good cinematographer. B, he's an incredible editor and he's a friend of mine. So, it's working out really well. So
growing up, what kind of music did you listen to and inspire you?
That's a great question. Actually, a lot of people don't know this, but well, first off, I play the piano, so people don't know that about me. I play piano. I have since I was five, and so. But I grew up listening to like Run DMC, Fat Boys. You know, a lot of
hip hop.
Oh, totally, man. I was a
break. I would not have guessed that.
I was a break dancer. Just so.
From you the East were Coast. A break dancer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll say it out loud. Like you know, Houdini Escape. You know, all these Nucleus, all these old school, of course I love, oh yeah, but I loved all the 80s stuff too. I mean, I was like, you know, Van Halen, Def Leppard, you know, shoot, it goes on and on. I mean, all of the 80 bands, that's me, you know, I love all that stuff. So I kind of have this, my background is kind of similar. I know when I talk to Willpower, you know, he likes a lot of the same things I do. It was kind of cool to see. He liked, you know, growing up some of the same music and stuff. And that guy's such a talented cat. Oh my gosh. I mean, I got to meet him cutting on the legend. It was like just working with just a brilliant person. I mean, the guy's unbelievable how he thinks of the beats and comes up with them. But yeah, so that's what I grew up to, you know, breakdancing. And I was, as a kid, I, you know, grew up on a farm in Western Maryland. I mean, I know everybody's laughing, but it is what it is. But
you still breakdance?
I mean, I can throw down a few moves. Yeah, definitely still do a few moves. I can do a few. I can't do the windmill. I break something nowadays, but yeah, I used to be able to do all that stuff.
Back in the day, would you just throw down?
Oh yeah, so well, the storyline was this. So I moved from Maryland when I was 16 to Montana. So that's how I moved out west. My mom and dad moved out west. I got here, so I went from a school. I think I had 200 or 300 kids in my class. I just finished up my sophomore year, so I'm starting my junior year in Florence Carlton in the middle of the Bitterroot Valley here, Western Montana. 37 kids were in my class. I was like, so everybody's like, oh, this is, you know, I was like the popular guy because I'm coming in from another place and they hadn't even heard of breakdancing. So I'm like the new thing, you know. So I get there and it was the craziest thing. So they would play all these songs I liked and I would get in the middle of the dance floor and I would breakdance with one other guy that started to figure it out. And they would all like point at us and I'd point at the next guy. He would do his thing. We had these routines we do. And, you know, I don't know. I just I like good rhythm. I like good beats. I like, I love music cause it moves you. And I think it's good for the souls. And so, yeah, breakdance is kind of funny now you think about it, but back then it was pretty cool.
Hey, I still think breakdancing is cool. I just think it's funny to picture you breakdancing.
Mm-hmm.
When I could not put the studio.
Like, what in the heck? They can't believe it because I'm like, yeah, they definitely look at me like I got two heads, you know, like, what's up?
Like, I can't picture you putting on Curtis Blow and just busting out moves.
Oh, yeah, totally, I can do it. Yeah. So when I was stationed in Okinawa, Japan, so I was a helicopter mechanic in the Marine Corps. That's what I did. I worked on I was first Marines, and I was stationed in Kaneohe Bay, Hawaii. Everybody says, Hawaii, rough, you know, which it wasn't very rough duty there. It was pretty cool. I mean, we had a good, you know, I worked on choppers all day and then at night, you know, I'd do whatever. But yeah, it was a great duty station. And so that's kind of where, you know, I spent a lot of time, you know, traveling around. I got to go to Okinawa, Japan. I spent some time there, about 9 months in Japan, working on choppers. I was a range coach for a while. I had the highest score shooting, which was cool because, I love to hunt and, all that kind of, kind of helped me be the hunter I am today. So, yeah, it was just fun. I mean, I wouldn't trade that experience for anything. Best thing I ever did was serve my country, and all the people that I've met along my travels through Skullbound and life in general, I've all, the Marine Corps has really helped me, solidify those relationships. So pretty cool.
Now, did you hunt before you moved to Montana, or was breakdancing taking up most of your time?
Well, I was breaking while I was shooting bucks. That's a new show idea, breaking bucks. No. I was my dad, obviously saw the, he had a love of the outdoors. So actually I started my very first hunting opportunities when I was a kid. I was shooting doves with a 410 single shot. So doves would fly by and I'd be out there. I think in Maryland it was started at noon. So I'd be out there, it'd be sweltering heat, and I think September 1st, and I'd be sweltering heat. There wasn't a dove in the sky, but I'd sit there until something showed up. And it was usually around 4 or 5 o'clock they started to fly. And so I got real good at killing those with a single shot. Then I bought a Stevens single shot 12 gauge, and I was dead. I couldn't miss them with a 12 gauge after hitting them with a 410. Actually, I pedaled my little bike all over the country roads, picking up aluminum cans, and I sold those by the pound to buy my first shotgun. Literally, that's how I bought it. Then I moved into big game hunting. When I turned 12, I got to hunt I didn't get my first buck till I was 14. I shot him with a 30-30 Marlin, 3x3. We call him a 6-point on the East Coast. And that was where I realized, I actually couldn't even speak when I shot it. I was so excited, I couldn't even talk. I was trying to whistle for my dad. I'll never forget it. And I couldn't get a word out. I was like, nothing would come out. And then finally he heard the shot. So he came over, and here I had this beautiful 3x3 buck down. And yeah, it was pretty cool. And that was really the start of where, my love of the outdoors, from small game. I hunted pheasants, rabbits, and all the other small game with I had a dog named Buffy, and we went out and tore it up every day. And that's where I started big game hunting. Was my first buck was in Maryland. I moved out west, and it was like, okay, wait a minute, is this for real? Did I just land in heaven? I have elk, I have muley, I have whitetail, goats, moose, mountain lion, bighorn sheep. The list went on. I was like, this is like heaven on earth. And I was like, I knew I wanted to make Montana my home. So that's how that's why I'm still here.
So when did you meet Jana?
Okay, that's a great story. So in 2009, I had just left another company. A lot of people don't know that I worked. I was a DP and editor for Magnum Global Media. I worked for those guys for just a little over 4 years. I traveled the world. I produced a lot of the shows that you saw on the Outdoor Channel or whatever. I did a lot of those shows, which is pretty cool. But at the time, I think I was getting ready to kind of move off and do my own. I got bought out, and I had written an article called Kingdom of the Brown Bear. I had filmed a guy kill the number 10 brown bear in the world on the Alaskan Peninsula with a bow. And I submitted it to Bow Hunter. They picked it up. I think it was Dwight Shue at the time was working there. And then he took it. And, so I saw a Facebook post, something about, my article was in Bow Hunter called Independence Day. And I was like, who is this girl? And I looked at her and I was like, oh, this is interesting. I was like, hey, I just wrote an article. I hit her back called Kingdom of the Brown Bear in last month's issue. I'll read yours. Check it out. She goes, I'll check yours out. That was all I ever did. And it was like a month later, I contacted her back and I was like, hey, did you ever read that article? I was off filming, doing my thing. I think I was gone traveling, came back. And she goes, oh yeah, I read it. Did you read mine? I was like, yeah, I read it. It was Independence Day. She wrote an article about, to move your tree stands on her dad's property without anybody else, like just taking a self-climber, move over here, or the stand, go or self-climber and go here, whatever. And so we both read each other's articles, and I was like, hey, I'm doing a writer's hunt down in Nebraska. And so at the time, so Jana's like, hey, I'll join you down there. So we met down there. We filmed two turkey hunts, and that's kind of how we met, and the rest is history. So pretty crazy story all through writing. I mean, I try to tell people, I love writing, and I think it's been a great thing. It's led me on so many adventures, even into the sonic realm. It's kind of hard to believe, but all through writing.
Yeah. I'm sure your first thought when you looked at her was, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking, I wasn't sure, what to think. You know, I mean, I knew she was from her story, she's a big whitetail hunter, and I was thinking, but man, you know, she's legit. She's so legit. She was legit then. I mean, I was like, so she's like a guy. Like, she does everything a guy likes to do, but she's a woman. It's like, what can you not love about that? I mean, it's just freaking epic, you know? So I was like, yeah. So we started long distance dating, and then eventually, at the same time, I think Animal Planet had contacted her. They were trying to do a series like on sustainable women and living and all that. And they shot a pilot and it didn't go anywhere, but they were very interested in her by herself. So they came out and did another pilot. It was going to be called something like Jana the Bedazzler, or I don't even know, something about with her skull business, you know? And so when I found out that wasn't really going anywhere, cause they couldn't find anybody like her. They wanted two hosts for the show. And when they couldn't find anybody like her, they realized, well, it really probably isn't going to go anywhere. And I'm like, well, if Animal Planet was so interested in doing a series about you, I figured, why don't we do a show called, I mean, literally, that's exactly what I said, Skullbound. She's like, I love it. So we had 9 days to shoot a pilot. We've been filming for a little while, but we had 9 days to like shoot some other things and put it together, pitched it to Outdoor, I think NBC Sports or whatever it was at the time. That was another one. And then the Sportsman's Channel gave us the best deal. We were like, that's our home. So we went right to the Sportsman's Channel, and we've been first year we were on Saturday mornings, and we ended up getting the number one Nielsen rated show for Saturday mornings. And they said, let's move you to Big Game Wednesday nights. And we've held that spot for four seasons. So that's kind of how it came to be, guys. I mean,
you're telling me Saturday mornings is not the place to be on TV?
No, I don't think it is. I mean, maybe it is. I think, I don't know. I like our double prime block. We're on 8:30 p.m. Eastern and 11:30 p.m. Eastern. So it's a good East Coast, West Coast, you know, time block. So if you get a chance to watch it, Big Game Wednesday night, Sportsman's Channel, Skullbound TV, we're just wrapping, you know, a couple more episodes here, and then they'll start rerunning quarter two or 13 originals. So you get to see them again. So
going back to you growing up, listening to a lot of hip hop, yep. Do you have the like blue and white Adidas jumpsuit with the white Kango hat and the single chain?
Parachute pants only. I wore parachute pants. Yeah, and then I would take my Nike, you know, high tops, and I would interlace like, so they had like a checkerboard on them. So I mean, this, you can't make this stuff up. So that's how I rolled, man. I had parachute pants and did the whole thing. I loved it. I literally would listen to you know, Run DMC and all these different, you know, songs, and I would literally break dance to them. And this was like early, this was like pre MTV. MTV was, I think, yeah, MTV was just starting to come out. And so, I hear beats in my head. People call me crazy, but I can hear certain things sonically. I play keyboard, like I said. And then, even though people don't realize this, but when you play keyboard, it's, you know, today's keyboards, I've got a Triton Pro workstation. There's a 16-track sequencer in there. So I'm not just playing piano. I'm dropping a beat. You know, arranging stuff. I get what the arrangement is, but I don't get it at the level that Will Power and Hartnett and those guys do. That's what they do for a living every day. But I understand it, and I think that's really helped me. You know, the early days growing up as a kid, being moved, you know, by certain sounds resonated inside of me that are now carrying on later in my life, I guess is the best way to describe it. Strange, but true, you know.
No, I totally pick up what you're putting down. It's like, musically, I like just about everything. And I think it overlaps a lot more than people want to think it does. You know, they want to think, oh, I'm into country. This is my box. This is where I stay. But you take a song like Dirt Road Anthem that was written by Brantley Gilbert and Colt Ford, and then, you know, gets countrified by Jason Aldean, and, you know, a lot of overlap.
No, it's funny you say Colt Ford. So Mike Hartnett, he's done a lot of work with Colt Ford, as has Bubba Sparks. I mean, I think Chicken, what was that one, Fried and Gravy or Country Fried and Gravy or whatever. That's one, I can't think of the name of the actual song.
Yeah, I know the song.
Yeah, that's Colt Ford. That's Bubba Sparks. I've never met Colt Ford, but I hope to someday. You know what I'd love to do for your audience? You guys have not heard Red Platoon. I could play a tiny bit of Red Platoon. So this is about Medal of Honor recipient Clint Romachet. This is the book that comes out in May. You'll see Clint will be at NRA. He'll be signing books. And if everything goes right, I'll have my boys come in live and play this. And Cowboy Eddie Long plays steel guitar. Now, if anybody knows Cowboy Eddie Long, famous steel guitarist. He worked with Hank Williams Jr. for like 30 years. So he plays steel on it. You guys want to hear just a tidbit of that?
Yes, yes, we do.
For sure.
So, yeah, so this is a – I talked to Clint yesterday for half an hour on the phone. He's headed to New York, and believe it or not, with his publicist. Long story short is he is actually going to read – now, I've read his book over Christmas. It's 465 pages as a Word doc. But so, yeah, you won't be able to put it down. I read it in 3 days. I can see why Sony jumped on this thing. It's an incredible story of heroism, valor, just unbelievable. So Clint's headed to New York. He's meeting with his publicist, and what they're going to do is he's going to read – in the next couple of weeks, he'll be reading the entire book for sound on tape, kind of like when you drive around, you can listen to the entire book.
I like
book.
That. I love
he's
that.
Going to read it. Yeah, he's going to read it himself and do all the reflections in the voice, whatever. But at the end of it, what we're thinking may happen is this song will be – so once you know the story, at the end, this song will play. So here we go. So that'll give you a taste of Red Platoon.
I got to tell you, Jim, we've had quite a few guests on the show, and what you're giving us right now as far as the inside scoop on stuff, you're over-delivering, man. I'm just telling you that everybody else is falling so short right now because I can't tell you thanks enough because it's like we'll tell somebody, hey, when you're ready to launch that or when you're ready to release that, let us know. We'd like to have it on. And yeah. Scheduling and everything else. So – dude, just telling you, it's thank you.
I hope your audience tunes in and listens into the behind the scenes because some of the stuff here, you know, this is coming down the pipe. I mean, literally, like, as we speak, you know, Red Platoons, they're already in pre-production for the feature film. Clint Romachet, God bless him, and Sergeant Larson, I got to meet one of his best friends who's in the book as well. They're signing me a copy of the book right now, the pre-productions, and I'm telling you, the American public, you know, that Clint Romachet, he's a walking, just a humble, solid American dude. Just ridiculous. Yeah, Staff Sergeant Clint Romachet. Yeah, unbelievable. So, yeah, so check him out if you get a chance. Google that guy.
You're going to get a call from these people saying, hey, you can't tell them all this stuff.
I'm good. I cleared a lot of this stuff, most of it. They're like, yeah, sure, talk about it, you know. So, whatever.
Cool.
But, so we're good. But, yeah, those are the people that, you know, I met Clint on Skullbound TV. you know, 2 years ago, he told me a story. And I think he was on NRA News Live with Cam and Company. Jana was up first. He came in next. And then we were like, so what's your story? And he tells the story. I'm like, do you want to come on a hunt? Let's go coyote hunting. So he lives over in North Dakota. He met us over in a small town called Winnett, Montana, in central Montana. And we met up with Levi Johnson for the Montana Doggers, and we got together, and that's kind of how I met him. I heard his story. I filmed it. There wasn't a dry eye when he told his story. And so I did a lot of recreates to make that, you know, to cut away from the interview so people could see what he went through. And that's kind of how Red Platoon came to be. We started talking about writing a country song, and we started writing the lyrics, and you know, with a few other guys, and the rest is history. I mean, it was so Michael Connors sings that, Mike Hartnett produced that one, final mix Skid Mills, James Breedwell was a writer on that one as well. Yeah, it's just Red Platoon, man. You know, it's just a 13-hour battle. He, you know, Clint battled over 300 Taliban for 13 hours. You know, they got inside the wire, which is something that the term inside the wire hasn't been used since Vietnam. I mean, like, they're inside the wire, they're in the camp, you know, and it's an amazing story of heroism and how, yeah, just how people, you know, some of the different, you know, guys from his platoon gave their lives so that he could survive and tell the story and live. And so, yeah. What a great American. I'm just, you know, blessed to call him a friend. So. Craziness.
I'm speechless, man. It's one of those things that, you know, hearing some of these stories, and it's people are so disconnected these days that it's not real to them, right? So to see the music and the books and in some of the movies, and sometimes the movies fall a little short, but to recreate those stories and hopefully enlighten people a little bit, because it's a different world, man.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's not all puppy dogs and rainbows, man. I mean, you got guys overseas ready to take away everything that we love. You know, yeah, I'm just looking forward to four more years of better stuff coming our way. That's why I feel like I've been called to kind of write these songs, you know, people that have moved me, but also, you know, the American spirit right now. We're at a critical point, I think, in our history. And, you know, I think the people I'm surrounding myself with all get it. And that's kind of why these songs are coming out now. Best way to describe it. So.
Timing is everything sometimes. And sometimes, you know, things are just meant to be at a certain time, a certain way.
I think so. You know, it's like, yeah, it's hard to describe, but I feel like it's like almost like a calling, you know, I've been called to do it. So I'm doing it. I'm just like a messenger, you know, I'm just like, all right, I'll do it, whatever, you know? And a lot of things move me, and they really, really move me. I can pen that out, in short format, because it's just, it comes natural for me, I guess. I've never written a song until 2 years, almost, well, a year and 7-8 months ago was the first song I ever wrote, was Open the Cage. And then from there, it was like, if you read down the list of our first three songs, it goes Open the Cage, Gladiator, Overcome. Those were our first three titles. I'm like, that's like a sentence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, you know, so that's, yeah, I feel really blessed is all I can say. It's just it's a humbling experience to be a part of, to be able to, you know, carry on the spirit of Chris Kyle. Why me? I mean, I'm just a guy, you know, like, why was it me that wrote those lyrics? I don't know, but I embrace it, and I'm happy that, you know, his spirit will be carried on. I'm happy that, you know, the call to action to America about what say you, what are you going to do to save 22, you know, the veterans that, you know, that, commit suicide every day in America. We're losing more at home than we are on the actual battlefield, and that has to stop. And so when I reached out to Bubba Sparks about it, he was like, absolutely, what do you want to do? And so he's like, yeah, I'll sing that. I'll work on it. And he dropped everything he was doing with his busy schedule and, you know, worked on that with my guys down there. And it's just, the people that have come into my life, I don't even know, you know, it's just like surreal to me, I guess. I super surreal. It's like, I don't know.
I think you put positive stuff out there, you get positive stuff back.
Yeah, that's true. You know, positive is good. I really surround myself with positive people. You know what I mean? I try to stay away from, haters or people that bring you down, or you know what I mean? I think we all have been experienced that, especially in the social media world. You know what I mean? We got to all stand tall, proud as hunters, you know, no matter if you're shooting a recurve or if you're shooting a compound bow or if you're long distance, short distance. If you want to shoot them, you know, get them with a spear like Tim Wells, or I don't care. Hey, man, we're hunter gatherers, you know. At the end of the day, we all got to stand tall, stand proud, because at the end of the day, what happens? Everybody's trying to take away those rights, you know. So, you know, same goes with America. Let's all stand tall, stand proud as patriots. And, you know, let our voices be heard, I guess. So,
yeah, it seems like the hunting community is very passionate about supporting, you know, the military and the people that have the same they represent the same thing. And it's good to see, because I'm happy to be a part of that group. You know, I never did serve in the military, but I have the family of hunters that, you know, the community that I associate with, and to see that. It's across the board. Everybody supports, you know, the military and what it stands for. So I don't know. I'm happy to see that.
Well, I'm glad that you guys have like a platform that we can come on and talk about it. I mean, think about it, freedom of speech right here. Look, it's going on live right now, and you know, people that tune in can get a taste of, you know, what's going on. And I appreciate you guys, you know, for everything, you know, that you do to help out with the getting the word out there. You know, it every bit helps, man. I mean, literally.
Oh, for sure. You know, and that's where, I don't know, like the whole, like you said, the freedom of speech and just being able to come out and, hey, you know, Will and I said, man, maybe we'll have a few people listen, you know, when we first started out. And now to see that it's like, you know, there's days where it's just, we talk back and forth like, hey, did you see how many people listened yesterday? Wow. You know, that's pretty cool. So, yeah. And just to see it continue to grow. So, yeah, we'll keep spitting it out there and bringing cool people like you on, because the stories that people, you know, they may not hear, not because it's not important, but because it just hasn't been featured yet. And your stuff, that's just a lot of the stuff that's just getting ready to come out, you know, with the launches and the music and you know, the other projects. Obviously, we know Skullbound, and we know we've seen that for years, and I've been a fan. I mean,
I appreciate it.
Actually. Yeah, man. That, like I said, mutual friends of ours with Willie Schmidt and Santino and a lot of those people. Yeah, you know, they're
really?
Like, oh man,
really?
You know, okay, Jim and Jana. Yeah, man. So they there's, it's a big family, and being able to see that, you know. So I hear a little bit about what's going on. I know Will's heard a little bit of what's going on, but to get just to sit down and talk about it and see how passionate you are about your projects, and is. Like I joked earlier about, do you sleep? Because, you know, the whole Arnold, hey man, just sleep faster. You know, it's
exactly
that quote. Yeah. That's it, right? I mean, work hard.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see, man. I mean, we got to get you guys got to do a show of behind the scenes with Jim and Jana, because
yeah.
I mean, seeing you run back and forth to all your different projects, man, that'd be pretty interesting to see too.
It gets a little crazy, you know, and she's always say, I mean, I remember at least last couple of months, you know, she's my biggest supporter. Without her, I would never be where I am today. I mean, she's behind me 100% on everything I do. And I'm behind her 100% on what she does. And we really, we're great sounding boards, really good on each other. And so, yeah, it's just cool to see kind of what's going on now. But she always says to me, focus, focus. And I do, but I'm multi-focusing. I'm the chameleon with one eye off to the right, and I'm looking at something over here at the same time, because that's just kind of where I am right now in life. And I'm embracing it and to see where this journey takes me. We're shooting music videos. You know, we're getting all that together to shoot music videos on all the songs you're going to hear coming out. We've even talked about filling Texas Stadium with, you know, filling it to the brim with people and singing The Legend live for the music video. That's something we were kicking around because, you know, obviously Chris was, you know, that's where his funeral was or whatever. And wouldn't it be cool to resurrect that spirit again right there in the same place? So we're kicking that around. What say you, maybe I'm going over to California and shooting, maybe on Camp Pendleton, you know, setting up there and shooting, what say you in that location, with Bubba Sparks. So we've got a couple projects in the works we're working on now, and kind of see where they take us. So good stuff.
No sleep.
No, man. I got to leave a footprint. I could die tomorrow. I want to leave something behind. So it's like, I got to roll, man. So.
Well, on that note, Thank you very much, Jim, for joining us on the show. And thank you to our sponsors, Mountain Ops, who I know you're also a big fan of, Jim. You know, great guys. Great guys, great company, great products. Check out the Magnum, which is a great triple blended protein. I know, Phil, are you still taking, I want to say Yeti, but it's not the Yeti.
Yeti pre-workout. For pre-workouts, Yeti. I use that all the time. I love it. Killer.
You're going Yeti?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Yeti Enduro guy. I like.
Today I went no pre-workout. I don't know if that was a good decision. It took me about half an hour while I was at the gym to actually feel like I was awake and like there's any. I had to do some handstand push-ups to get blood in my head because I felt like just.
That's great.
Yeah, good to clean it out once in a while, though, right? Clean the system.
Absolutely. Yeah,
but
great
check them out.
So, yeah, they're great.
You can get, hey, Jim, if you ever want 20% off, you can use the coupon code NBH20 at your checkout.
I'm there.
We now have taken care of it, so if you order the big packages and stuff and they're not already marked down, you will get the 20% off on those too. So
beautiful. I'll check it out for sure. Yeah, they're legit, totally legit, guys. I love those guys. They're like family.
For sure. Those guys are on it too. And Jim, don't when we finish up here, don't hang up, man. I want to chat with you on for 2 minutes on something else. But go ahead, and if you want to wrap up, Will, and
So coupon code NBH20. Jim, I know you've got like a 100 different projects, but where can we send people to check out some of this stuff?
Kind of watch our Skullbound TV Facebook page. That's a good place to start. We'll probably, when that press release hits Monday, we'll be dropping it there. Looks like there may be something on the Outdoor Wire, Ammo Land, some of those places. But yeah, Skullbound Facebook page or skullboundtv.com. A little bit more about us. That's a good place to start.
Awesome. Cool. Well, everybody, check that all out. Jim is also on Instagram if you would like to follow his adventures. I'm sure you'll get to see a lot of different parts of the country and world if that's something you're into, which I believe is it Jim Kinsey HD?
It's Kinsey HD. K-I-N-S-E-Y. Yeah, Kinsey HD.
K-I-N-S-E-Y-H-D. All right, check that out. I think I'm following you. If I'm not, I'm going to make sure I'm following you right now.
Cool.
And everyone else, you check them out. You can check us out on Instagram, Natural Born Hunter, or Phil Mendoza. He's got a personal page. It's mostly just pictures of him working out shirtless and pantsless, if that's something you're into. You can also go to the Natural Born Hunter Facebook page. Drop us a line. Send us some messages. And, here's something cool. So Project Upland, the Upland bird hunting film I was in, is out now. So you can check that out at projectupland.com. It's under 10 minutes long, which makes it a nice, you know, solid watch on your phone. Which, if you're like me, consuming most of your media on your phone, just head on over there and check it out. Also, if you guys are ready for the competition of who is the biggest beast in the East, get ready because Train to Hunt Pennsylvania is happening. I'm running the event July 16th and 17th of this summer. So get ready because it's going to be the Train to Hunt event of the year. Fuck those guys on the West Coast. It's going down. It's going down for real. All right, everybody. This has been the Natural Born Hunter Podcast. Wake up, Jason James. Repeat.